a recorder, an observer, and an investigator for almost 30 years. The records don't lie, and they have no one to influence. And I speak from the records and experience. Have cabooses outlived their usefulness? Are they just to be regarded as a reminiscent symbol of railroading? And have they become a negative factor in regard to railroad train safety? Should cabooses be removed from trains? You are the jury. If I were a member of the jury and listened to and was shown the past 30 years of recorded information such I have briefly outlined herein, my vote would be to keep the caboose on most trains and would support House Bill 436. Millions of dollars will be saved in the future, as in the past, by a watchful eye in the observation seat of a caboose. More will be saved than the expense of operating and maintenance of a caboose. Thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you very much, Merrill. We've kind of wore our committee out. They've all kind of tuckered off on us, but I still want to get everything on the record, because I'm sure that this issue is not going to go away until it's resolved, and I think that your testimony was very, very apt, very well put, and I certainly appreciate your candor. I don't have it. Betty, do you have any questions?
No, I took a copy of his testimony.
Well, you're going to get a copy of our minutes.
This was pretty well. I'm aware of that, but the time element is what has me bothered.
We have one more person, Dixie Hundrich from the AFL-CIO. Rich from the AFL-CIO. She wants to get on record, I'm sure, and then there might be somebody else that might want to say something. But welcome to our table, Dixie.
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Dixie Hundrich. And I'm here representing the Alaska State AFL-CIO. And I realize it's late in the day, so I'm trying to make my comments short here. The Alaska State AFL-CIO wishes to go on record in support of Committee Substitute House Bill 436. This bill, which requires Alaska Railroad to properly equip and staff a caboose on certain trains, is essentially and unequivocally a safety issue. Alaska Railroad Management, in their previous testimony before the House State Affairs and Transportation Committees, and also before this Senate Committee today, would have us believe otherwise. As they state, the Alaska Railroad Corporation has already been directed by the legislature to provide a safe railroad operation. We contend it is one thing to direct the Alaska Railroad to run a safe operation, and it is another thing to legislate safe operations. Alaska Railroad Management also contends that the legislature should not be interfering with how they run the railroad. Let me assure you that when the Alaska Railroad Corporation Act was established, the residents of Alaska did not give up their legislative ability to regulate rail safety. Uppermost, we should keep in mind that the Alaska Railroad is owned by the state, and the right to regulate rail safety is the state of Alaska's responsibility and not a collective bargaining negotiated item. The state should do no less than to ensure not only the safety of its employees, but of the public. Many of you have heard that modern technology now provides various automated devices that are supposed to reduce the risk of operating cabooseless trains. Yet all these devices cannot replace the manned caboose, as was clearly pointed out by a federal judge in Nebraska in a court decision issued in May 1985. Judge Erbaum concluded in his decision that there is ample evidence that a crew member at the end of a train may see a safety threat that the electronic detector cannot see. The state had shown that detectors are fallible, that in the past they have failed to detect problems that the caboose crew was able to discover before they led to derailments, and that the retention of a manned caboose plays a real role in the detection of equipment defects before they can cause derailments. With increased transportation of hazardous and toxic materials on the Alaska Railroad, the safety of the public demands the stiffest assurance of rail safety on our trains. As we all know, it only takes one derailment incident involving hazardous and toxic materials to affect an entire community. The AFL-CIO is not saying that keeping cabooses on trains will ensure no accidents. But we are saying by requiring cabooses on certain trains over 1,825 feet in length with insurance that hazardous and toxic materials will be carried up front on the first 1,000 feet of the train will certainly decrease the possibility of an incident. Further, the Alaska Railroad Management pointed out in their previous testimony before the House State Affairs Committee that eliminating cabooses would be an economic saving factor. I would like to reply by quoting Craig Stas, and I believe it's pronounced Staska, safety representative for the United Transportation Union, in his letter to the Anchorage Daily Times, as I couldn't say it better, as quoted, "An employee spotting trouble early can mean the difference between an incident and disaster costing millions of dollars in loss of life. Any short-term cost savings would be instantly nullified in such a disaster," unquote. We do not believe it is worth the dollars and labor costs to the Alaska Railroad to compromise the safety of the public and the train crew involved. With this, the Alaska State AFL-CIO urges the Senate Transportation Committee to support Committee Substitute House Bill 436. And I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Dixie, for your comments. It'll be in the record. Dave, do you have anything that you want to say?
Thanks, sir? Mr. Chairman. I think it's all been said. Yes. Maybe one, just to emphasize, this is not feather bedding. And I hope, if nothing else today, the folks who have testified have convinced you that this is not a feather bedding issue, but it's a legitimate safety issue that's being advocated by folks who deal with it every day of their lives.
It's never been the position of the chair that it's feather bedding.
Right. I just wanted to respond to.
Comes from a different angle.
Right.
Is there anybody else that would like to say anything for the record? Jerry, we want to make sure that that the record shows that you're here. We wouldn't want to miss that opportunity.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I guess maybe one more comment.
We're running out of tape, but we're all right.
Okay. I just want to make some quick comments on Mr. Davidson that Mr. Polinchek referred to about not being able to see. I have personally detected a hot box a mile away. I've been on trains that were a mile and a quarter long. You can see flame, the lights on the engine from a mile away. There's no problem. And far as not being able to see on the kind of thing, on a clear, cold night, no snow blows, you know that. Everybody knows it. And how they expect to tell you something like that and expect you to believe it, I don't understand. I have had occasion to tell the engineer where he was at. Can you believe that? He couldn't. The snow was flying, raised up from the plow from a fresh snow, and it was coming up over his cab of his engine and sticking on the windshield. And I would tell him where he was at by looking at the mileposts and being able to see from the caboose, because naturally it wasn't flying back that far. As far as Mr. Davidson's experience, I would say without any qualms at all that the man has less than 2 years road experience. To start with, he went as an official in 1974. He was number 25 on the seniority list, and there's no way he could hold a job. I was probably at that time about 15 on the seniority list, and I couldn't hold a road job then. I worked the extra boards and such as that. So Mr. Davidson's experience has been very, very minimal. So I wanted to get that straight.
Sure.
He had a lot of record. He had a lot of experience switching in the yard.
Thank you, Ray. That's what we wanted to do here. You don't. You're not talking to an empty table, because we're getting it on the record, and all of this stuff will show up. That's why I wanted to make sure that everybody had a chance to be able to put it on the record. I can remember ducking old Jimmy Rotabaugh back in the 30s when we used to hitch a ride to Fairbanks from Nenana, and we used to get up as close to the front end of the train because those guys in the caboose were always finding us.
Jimmy Rotabaugh was the number one conductor when I heard that.
So we go back a ways. Is there anything else? If not, why, thank you, gentlemen, for coming, and believe me, your efforts are not in vain, although they might seem to.